And you're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 100.5 FM.
After the outcome of the general election in Honduras on November the 24th, ruling President Juan Orlando Hernandez of the National Party was reinstated with 37% of the popular vote, while Xiomara Castro and the Libre Party, which was slated to win, came in at just 29% and remain the opposition. Since the election, serious allegations of fraud and intimidation have been widespread throughout the country. Murray Bush is an independent journalist and photographer from Vancouver and a longtime friend of our program. Murray is a frequent guest on America Latina El Dia, as well as Red Eye. And he was in Honduras for 2 weeks covering the election, and he joins us now to share his story. Hello, Murray.
Hi, good to be here.
Can you start by paint us a picture of the political climate in Honduras, such as who were the political parties running and what were they offering?
Sure. Basically, if we go back for the last 100 years, power has been swapped back and forth between two parties. It's one of the last two-party systems in the region, between the right-wing, very conservative National Party and the more centrist Liberal Party. In 2009, that changed with the military-backed coup against Liberal Party President Mel Zelaya. Now, his wife is Xiomara Castro. She's the one that ran as leader of the newly formed Libre Party in these elections. These elections had a lot of weight to them because this was seen as an opening by the social movements in Honduras. And these social movements actually made a conscious decision to put their weight behind, whatever weight they have, behind these elections and take part in the electoral process.
Can you tell us a bit about the level of fraud that's at issue over the election results?
Sure. It, of course, depends on who you talk to. The National Party, who theoretically won the election, is quite happy with the result. But the Libre Party has been calling fraud basically since the day of the election. And I should maybe put it in context, too, that there was a lot of intimidation and a lot of pressure throughout the electoral campaign. As many as 20 Libre candidates or Libre Party workers were assassinated in the 6 months coming up to the election. The types of fraud on election day varied from people who are marked as dead coming up to vote, and also people coming up to vote and finding out that they had been marked as dead. Those are the two, those are some of the, and election vote buying and pressure from parties outside the polling stations and the presence of military, police, and army. But the second level of fraud is the one that the Libre Party is talking about, and that's an organized miscount of the vote in favor of the National Party, and they say that that took place in about one quarter of the 12,000 polling stations across the country.
Now, the EU delegation and the Organization of American States that both declared the election as a clean win, while one delegate, Leo Gabriel of the EU, has been outspoken against the election results. And what's Gabriel's position?
His position is that despite what the members of his delegation saw at polling stations and put into their individual reports to the overall delegation, that the declaration that it was a clean, transparent election result didn't consider any input from the actual people on the ground at the polling stations. He was not the only dissenting delegation. There was a Canadian delegation that dissented as well. And there was actually a press conference of several delegations making up about 190 observers throughout the country for the elections who decried the results.
Now, you did refer to some of the intimidation leading up to the election, but can you tell us more about the tactics that were used against voters leading up to the election?
Sure. Well, there's a level of intimidation in Honduras that is hard to picture unless you actually see it. And I would say that I traveled throughout the country with two other Canadian journalists, Sandra Cuff and Don Paley. Just about everybody we interviewed, whether they were land activists or whether they were campesino farmers who had taken back their land, or whether they were fighting dam projects or fighting against Canadian mining like Goldcorp, all of them were restricted in their movements. Many of them couldn't leave their homes. Many of them couldn't leave their communities. Many of them couldn't even go down to the road to say goodbye to us because they would be assassinated. They were all on. They said that they had frequent death threats and literally could not. Some of them were candidates. They could not even campaign.
And Honduras, I understand, generally speaking, is a very violent country, isn't it?
It is. It has the reputation. It's called the most dangerous place on earth. It has 20 murders a day in a country with a population of about 8.5 million. I should say that most of those murders are related to drug trafficking and to gangs, and most of them, the center for that is in the north in San Pedro Sula. But there is also political intimidation and political assassination as well.
Now, the student movement, I understand, has objected to the results of the election. How has the government reacted to that dissent?
The government itself, the National Party, has stayed very silent on the results because they won. But there was a student rally held a couple of days after the election. The students went out into the streets in front of the National Autonomous University in Tegucigalpa, and they were met with tear gas, and they were met with about 100 riot police, which ended up in running battles back and forth in front of the university for the rest of the afternoon. There was an enormous amount of tear gas used, and the students actually collected the spent tear gas canisters. They had piles of them on display inside the campus as they met to decide what to do next. And one of the points they made was that those tear gas canisters cost $100 US each, and those were being fired in a country that has no money to pay its doctors and no money to pay its teachers.
Now, the Libre Party was expected to win, but of course now they find themselves in the opposition. Any thoughts on how you might see them responding?
Sure, they have responded. Actually, they responded last night. They had been calling for a recount of some of the votes and some of the question votes, and a lot of their ire at the results had been tuned towards the TSE, the Supreme Electoral Tribunal. Now, as of last night, they are asking for an annulment of the election results, which would call for a new election. The government doesn't take power. The new government doesn't take power until the end of January. So I think that they are hoping to get a judicial decision that would allow them to do this. They're going through the courts and to call a new election. That's their strategy at the moment.
Common Frontiers is a Canadian organization working towards improving the social integration of the Northern American values into Southern Americas, and they've been critical about the election also. What are they saying about the results?
They're saying that the results reflect globalization, and that's why many of the other delegations, the large delegations, have supported the results. They're saying that we should look at the response of the Canadian government and the involvement of the Canadian government in Honduras. There was just a recent free trade agreement signed between Honduras and Canada, and Canada was one of the first, if not the first, government to recognize the coup in 2009. And it's about resource extraction, as it is here.
Well, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to come down and speak to us.
Thanks. It's nice and warm in the studio here.
Indeed, yes. We've been speaking with Murray Bush, a Vancouver-based independent journalist and photographer, and he was in Honduras for 2 weeks covering the recent election.